series is called This Is How We Fight. And today I'm going to teach you how to fight when you are surrounded on every side. Anybody ever feel like they were getting attacked on every side? Am I talking to anybody in here? If it wasn't one thing, it's another. And you go through seasons of attack, whether it be your finances, whether it be people, whether it be your health, your heartbreak. Sometimes you at war with yourself. Anybody been at war with yourself? Your flesh ain't acting right. Your mind not acting right. You're trying to get yourself together. Anybody ever looked yourself in the mirror like, what in the world is going on with you? When you're getting attacked on every side, you got to know how to fight. And in a day and time, we know how to throw hands. Some of you know how to clap back at people. Some of you know how to shut down. You know how to go to war and bring up people's past and do all stuff like that. But I want to teach you how to fight in faith. Somebody say, fight in faith. As a Christian, you know, sometimes people get saved and they get soft. Some of you know before you got saved, somebody looked like they were going to do something crazy to you. You're going to get them before they got you. And some of you, I can look at your face. I can tell you were a fighter. You could cuss real good and you do all. But then when you get saved, everything hurts your feelings. Everything is a devil and you sit there and take it. But no, as a believer of God, we are bold as lions. We stand our ground and say, devil, if it's a fight you want, it's a fight you get. Matter of fact, the next time he messes with you, wake up and say, devil, this is the wrong morning. Matter of fact, I want to declare that today at BFF. This is the wrong morning. I believe in God. I know who my God is, and God's going to fight for me. Anybody believe that in here? So I'm going to teach you how to fight in faith, and faith is a muscle, and you build that muscle by faith. I've got a scripture, 1 Kings chapter 6. I believe it's 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. It's there on the screen, and that may be 2 Kings. Turn in your Bible. Check both of those. If you're in your smartphone, you get there faster than others. But it's there on the screen. There's a guy by the name of Elisha. He was a prophet, and God gave him a gift. And he had the gift that he could discern what the enemy was doing. And the king of Aram was fighting the king of Israel. And at the time, Elisha was on the side of the king of Israel. And he was telling him everything that the king of Aram was going to do. And the king of Aram was trying to figure out, do we got a spy in the camp? Is there a leak? Somebody telling our information to the king, to the children of Israel? They didn't realize that God was revealing the plans of the enemy to his prophet, and his prophet was telling the ones that were fighting. Can I tell you something in here? Don't you worry about who's fighting you. God will reveal the enemy's plan to you so that you can fight on and see what the end's going to be. Am I talking to anybody in here? So here we are picking up in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. It says, now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he was counseled with his servant, saying, in such and such a place shall my camp be. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent to this place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this, and he called his servants and said to them, will you tell me which of us is the king of is for the king of Israel? One of his servants said, now, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and take him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. And he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And there came by night and surrounded the city. This is where I want to be. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, armies with horses and chariots were circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Encourage your neighbor and tell them this. There's more with you than there are against you. So they didn't believe. Look at somebody else. Tell them there's more with you than there are against you. Then Elisha didn't stop there. Elisha prayed and said, oh, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. I'm going to teach you how to fight when you're being attacked on every side. Can I clarify the attack again? It could be in your finances. It could be, oh, my God, what is going on with my children now? And your children get to acting right and then your car messes up. They get to messing up on your job. You get pressure on every side, and then something goes on with your family. Anybody get tired of one thing hitting you after another? This is how you fight. Number one, you got to know why the attack is happening. You first got to figure out why the attack is happening. Elijah was being attacked, not because he had good hair, not because he had nice eyes, not because of where he went to school, not because of how much money he made. He was attacked because of his gift. His gift was disarming his enemy. Satan wants to shut you down from speaking the mysteries of God into this world. And whenever you are under attack, you can find out why you are being attacked by looking at what is being attacked. What he attacks is the entry point of what he's after. In this season of your life, you may be saying, oh my God, I'm being attacked with words. And you got to ask yourself, what are these words after? The words can be negative things about what's going on in your life. They can be negative things. Anybody, God ever tapped your ear into what people were saying about you? And you're like, what, God, why now? Why, you know, I was doing good until I heard this. The question you got to ask yourself is, why do their words have such weight in my life anyway? Because criticism is only effective to the degree that I need validation from the person criticizing me. I got to figure out, why is my confidence so shaky? Anybody's money ever feel like your money was under attack? Yeah, we've been there. Got the T-shirt. And may need to wear it again. Been to a point where finances were under attack. I remember when we lived in Nashville. It's before we started, before I started passing the church, we were always tithers. And it was a season I had to make a decision. Am I going to tithe? We're going to do this. And I got to the point where we were paying our mortgage at the 31st of the month so I wouldn't get that late fee and it wouldn't hit my credit report. So I was just robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it was stressed on every side. And I had to make a decision because, God, am I going to tithe or am I going to do this? And I began to ask questions. Because you know when you go through stuff, you get these philosophical questions. Maybe I'll tithe with my time. Maybe I'll do this. And all these things start, you know, yeah. All these things start going in my head. And the Lord told me clearly. He said, Jason, it's not your money that's under attack. It's your trust. And he said, whenever you're under attack, you got to know what the enemy was after. Can I tell you that we trusted God, and I don't know how, but he worked it out? Whenever you're under attack, why are these words damaging me so in this season? Maybe the enemy's after your authority, so you don't stand flat-footed and say, yes, I have a past. Yes, I've not been perfect, but if God be for me. You all right in here? You always got to remember this. The attack is not personal. The attack is purposeful. The enemy has not been plotting just because, you know, you got a new hairdo, you got a new car, now everybody's jealous of you. No, he's trying to shut you down. Sometimes we go through stuff and we say, and the Lord does use your testimony. I'm going through this and I'm going to share it for somebody else. Can I tell you really why you went through that? The enemy wanted to destroy you. He wanted you to quit. He wanted you to shut down. You lived to tell the testimony, but he wasn't after your testimony. He was trying to kill you in the test. And you got to know this. It's not personal. When it's personal, you will get offended by the stuff you go through. You coming for me? Anybody ever come for you that you didn't send for? No, I'm going through this. And bitterness will start to set in, and you begin to question God. Anybody ever, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but maybe you've been at a point where you, God, why? If you're God, why are you allowing me to go through this? We say stuff like, God is in control. And then the atheists and the agnostics are asking you questions. If God is in control, why is this happening to little children? Why are people doing this? And you'll find out this. God is in as much control as you allow him to be. He will do nothing in your life that you don't allow him to do. You all right in here? First question to ask yourself is, why? Why am I being attacked? The next question you got to ask yourself when you're going through is, you got to know who your real enemy is. Anybody dislike fake friends? Friends that are only your friends when they're in your company. I need you to be my friend when you're in the room with me and when I'm not in the room. You got to know your real enemy. They sing a song years ago, Backstabbers. Smile in your face all the time trying to take your... Y'all been there before? Backstabbers. Drake said, I got no new friends for this same reason. But you got to know who your real enemy is. The enemy that was surrounding them was not their real enemy. They were sent ones. They were sent by the king of Aram. They were surrounding Elijah and his servant. But here's the thing. Even if they whipped them, they wouldn't destroy the thing that was after them. You know that you can win a battle and still lose the war. Because some of us are winning stuff that don't mount to a hill of beans, as they used to say. I was in my car the other day, and I saw this sitting right there, and I had it from the last time that we went fishing. And the last time we were fishing, I sprayed this on so the bugs wouldn't get me. Can you imagine how crazy of a conquest it would be to say, I'm going to go outside and destroy all the bugs. I'm going to destroy all the bugs so we can have all the fun that we want. Can I tell you something? A bug is always going to be a bug. And when you kill one, they got two more coming behind it. Somebody had this ingenious idea that said, if I can't kill them, I can ward them off. Can I tell you that some of us are driving ourselves nuts trying to destroy all of our enemies? I want you to find the anointing of God on your life. I want you to find the favor of God on your life so that you can be so, you know what it means to be anointed? It doesn't mean to hook them a shine. You can just, all that stuff comes with it. But the anointing is where they get oil from. And when they put oil on you, when something is oily, it's slicky. So that when you grab it, it's slick. So when you grab it, it can always get away. God wants to anoint you that so when the enemy comes to get you, you can always slip and get away. Because many of you, he thought he had you, but look at you. You're still standing and you still have joy. Here's the challenge of why many of us cannot not identify a real enemy. Because when I say the enemy or Satan is after you, most of you have a human face with the name enemy. My boss, enemy. My fake friends, enemy. My ex, enemy. These people that don't like me, enemy. Can I tell you, when you consume yourself with putting a face with the enemy, you miss it. Because you're somebody's enemy. And you don't wake up to maliciously destroy anybody's life. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities. And as humans, we do dumb stuff to hurt people, and we don't even know that the enemy is using us. They got some of these rent-to-own places where you can go rent the stuff, you never own it. And I think Satan does rent some people to own. There's some people who are anointed to get on your nerves, anointed to ruin your day. And it seems like, do you wake up to destroy the very happiness that I fought to get? There are some people who are just seem like that. Anybody ever met somebody like that? You oil and they water and you just don't click. But you got to know your real enemy. The real enemy is this. Why is this bothering me the way that it's bothering me? I cannot destroy all the things around me, and I will lose focus on what God is saying if I find myself just consumed with my enemies. But if I focus on what God is doing, and if I know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and I know who my real enemy is, married couples, many times the real enemy is not that person you're sleeping next to. Oh, you think, oh, you didn't put them dishes up just to get on my nerves. You just left a little bit of milk because you knew I was going to eat cereal in the morning. And you just be, you know, Satan will tell you all kind of stuff like, my kids, it seems like God, that Satan just uses them kids. I spend my hard-earned money and all these shoes and clothes, and they can't even say thank you. They're doing ungrateful stuff. Them kids are not your enemy. The people you're looking at are not your enemy. Even when it comes to racism, sexism, the people that you're fighting are not your enemy. There's something greater running this situation that you got to bind the enemy and say, no, no, not today. I have authority and power from God. Number two, look at your neighbor and say, know your enemy. The next thing is this. Your battle is going to require leadership. We got a lot of talented people, but do we really have leaders? I found this out when it comes to, this ain't got nothing to do with the scripture here, but let me throw a side note here. Many times when it comes to, you see young men and we get married and we know how your whole life, African American, you put a do-rag on and you got waves all going through your head and you got the smooth talk. And here's the challenge. Many of us know how to win a heart, but we don't know how to keep a heart. Can I let that sit there for a minute? And to keep a heart, you got to lead. That's why it's easier to check out when things get rough. We not know how to woo you in, but when you get here, what are we going to do now? You all right in here? To win a battle, you got to be able to lead. I know you're smart. You got all your ducks in a row. You got all these things together, but can you lead under pressure? Elijah came to the man, and the man came back and said, hey, this army is surrounding us. And what Elijah did was address not the army. He didn't address the enemy, but he addressed the emotion in the moment. He said, why are you fearful? And he prayed for his fear. A real leader addresses the emotion of the moment. Because when you're in that emotion, you cannot see beyond where you are. Somebody has to see beyond the moment. Because when you are under attack, all you hear is a doctor's report. All you hear is, they're going to evict me. All you hear is, they're laying off. And you're frantic. You're going to do crazy stuff. But somebody has to stand flat-footed and Say, hey, we're going to deal with this emotion. I know they're talking about you. I know they said this, but I need you to keep calm. You cannot show up at work tomorrow and go slap everybody in that building. You cannot go cuss your wife out. We're trying to get out of debt right now. You cannot go cuss your boss out. You cannot do something crazy. I need you to calm down. Anybody ever been in a situation with somebody where in order to deal with it, you say, I need you to calm down right now? Because they all over the place. Somebody has to lead in the moment. A classic example of leadership, one of my favorite movies in the world. How many have seen the movie Taken? Oh, I love that movie, Taken. Because in that moment, he was talking to his daughter, and he switched. Because he said that he had a special set of skills. His daughter went somewhere she had no business going. And in the middle of talking to his daughter, he found out where he was. The kidnappers came in to try to get into sex trafficking. And if you watch the movie, she was on the phone with him, and she began to get frantic, and he changed. He said, I need you to stay calm right now. He said, they're going to take you. But I need you to pay attention to every detail. I need you to get a hold of yourself. I need you not to get alarmed, but I need you to tell me everything you see, the hair color, the eye color. And he said, I will come find you. And in the middle of all this, she went frantic, but he heard everything on the phone. He didn't just stop and talk to the victim. He knew that the victimizer, the enemy, had the phone. And he said, I know you're listening to me right now. I'm going to give you one opportunity. You can let her go. But if you do not let her go, I will find you. I will hurt you. And I will get you. There comes a point in every situation where you got to talk to the people who are upset and say, I need you to calm down right now. I know what the doctor said. He gave you the big C word, cancer. I know things are going on in your life, but watch this. We're going to get through this. And you need to tell the enemy, you should have killed me when you had a chance. I'm not going to let you destroy my family. I'm not going to let you destroy my life. I've got power from God, and I'm going to take control of this situation. Somebody say, we need leadership. When you got leadership, you tell the victim, I got a bad report from the doctor. They're telling me all this on my job. And you tell them this, oh, magnify the Lord with me. You mean you want me to praise God in the middle of everything? Yes, I do. Well, what does that mean, oh, magnify the Lord? Because God is as big as he'll ever be. Oh, magnify the Lord means you make him large in your life. Because you can minimize his power. You can make his power great. I need you to take the focus off what you're going through. Let me lead you through this moment. You're sitting in here today, and I know you may be going through, but just trust me on this. Can we magnify God for a moment? Can we exalt his name together? Because God is going to take care of you. And I got news for your enemy. When he wakes you up and tells you all the things that's going to happen. When you see your enemy walking down the street, tell your enemy everything he tried did not work. Tell them that you're still here. And after all the things that you've been through, you still got joy. Y'all sit down for a moment. So somebody's got to lead in the moment. And when somebody leads in the moment, here's the next thing that's going to happen for you to fight when you're under attack. To win your battle, you got to see it right. To win your battle, can you go switch it for me? To win your battle, you got to see it right. The guy prayed for Elijah. Watch this. He said, Lord, open his eyes. The Elijah prayed for the servant and said, open his eyes that he may see. Your situation will be what you name it. It'll be your doom if you name it your doom. It will be the greatest moment of your life, but it's all in what you name it. Some of you are going through some stuff right now, and you've named it, I've never been through anything like this in my life. Or you could name it, I've never had an opportunity for like this, for God to show his strength. I've never had such a battle. This battle is so big. I know God has got to show himself strong in this situation. Notice, he did not pray for the situation to change. He prayed for the man to see the situation different. Because here's what I found out. Before God changes my situation, he always changes me. We're asking God to change things around us, and God said, I want to change you first. Here's the reason why. I told you about fear earlier. Have you ever tried to calm somebody down who's afraid? You ever tried to see somebody who is afraid of bugs and let a little bee fly around? They will tear everything up around them. Have you ever tried to talk to them and say, it's not going to sting you? Look, it ain't stinging. They're not listening to a word you said. Matter of fact, when I was back in high school, they were trying to teach us how to save people in the water. And they said, if you're in the water trying to save people and they jump on you, you got to get them off of you because they'll drown you with them. They said, get in a ball and kick them off of you. And when they stop fighting, you go save them. When you're in a situation, most of us go frantic. And I understand it. You go to the doctor and he says, we see a mass right there on the side of your body. It's hard to lift your hand and say, thank you. You're a healer. That ain't your first reaction. Your first reaction is, oh, Jesus. I never imagined it being me. You get that email and you hear they're laying off on your job, or you think somebody's been for you and you find out they're against you. And it's hard to stay calm in those situations. And when people come to you in faith, you think they're ignoring what they see. Faith is not ignoring that you have a problem. It's knowing that it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm really surrounded by the glory of God. There's something greater on the other side of this. I'm not ignoring that you got problems, but I want you to know there's a problem solver on the other side of your problems. People struggle when they're under attack because you don't see this sickness. You don't see this disorder. Yeah, I see it, but I'm trying to get you in faith. Here's what happens when you see it wrong, you say it wrong. And in a situation, you got to make a decision. Am I going to be a thermostat or am I going to be a thermometer? Thermometers say what they see. Thermostats see what they say. Let me make it make sense to you. In this room, we have this. It's an older one there. It's a turnstile, but you look on the screen behind me. There is a thermostat, but inside every thermostat, there is a thermometer. The thermometer does nothing more than tell you what the current degree is. You got thermometers all around you. You're going through the toughest moment of your life. They get in your car and ride with you. You know your windshield crack. You don't say. You know your car running a little hot. You don't say. You know that needs to be fixed. For real? You know this is a little bit out of control. Yeah, you know you ought to deal with this. I know. But you telling me I got a problem is not helping my problem. Am I talking to anybody in here? You know you need to get them kids under control. I done tried everything that I could. Tell me something I don't know. You don't need people to tell you the obvious. In life, we got people. The world is bad. There's all kind of stuff going on. Exactly. The news tells us that every day. But I need somebody to go beyond what they see. And they say, I see something greater. I see this. It could be 70, but I need it to 66. So they set the thermometer to 60, the thermostat to 66. And there's something greater that kicks in. When you are in faith, you are not a thermometer just saying everything you see. You see something from God and you confess that over your situation. And then heaven begins to show up and it flicks its will on your situation and things begin to change. Why? Because I see something different than what's in front of me right now. But you got to make a decision. Am I going to just talk about what's going on around me? Or am I going to go to heaven? God, how do you see this situation? And I don't know about you, but my thermostat is set to heaven. You can go through hell if you want to. But I done pray, God, let your kingdom, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when you pray God's will, his kingdom come down, you set the temperature to what you want it to be. I know what they're saying in your city. I know what they're saying around you. I love the doctors, and I love what the doctor said some things to you. But I want you to set your dial to healing. I want you to set your dial to breakthrough and watch what happens in the battle. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to make a decision. Are you going to be a thermostat or are you going to be a thermometer? I'm through. And I'm glad y'all shout a little bit on that one. But I'm going to show you how to put an end to your attack. And it's not going to be what you think it is. Here's how you end your battle. Y'all seen The Matrix? When Neo stood up when he figured out who he was. Put his hand out and all the bullets just dropped. If you do what I tell you in this scripture right here, you're going to put your hand out. And the attack is going to stop. Not because I said it, but because of what the word said. Can I show you what the word said happened? In verse 18, it says this. When they came down to him, Elijah prayed, Lord, strike the people with blindness. Elijah prayed for one person. He said, open my servant's eyes so he can see. And he prayed that you blind the enemy. He said, I pray. So he struck him with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Then Elijah said to them, this is not the way, nor is it the city. Is this the city? Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he brought him to Samaria. And when he had come to Samaria, Elisha said, O Lord, open the eyes of this man that they may see. He led the enemy into their camp. So the Lord opened their eyes and they saw him. Behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Verse 21. Then the king of Israel, when he saw them, said to Elijah, he's smacking his chops in, said, okay, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I? He didn't ask once, he asked twice, shall I kill them? You wondering, oh, I know who my enemy is now. Well, how can I get them? I know they mess. I can put them on blast. I can get them. I can attack my enemy. Well, I'm stronger than them. I know their weakness. That's not what he said. He answered, don't kill them. He said, would you kill those who you have taken captive with the sword and with the bow? He said, watch this. Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink. Wait a minute. I'm confused. And then he said, send them back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. Now, a great feast. Now, if your enemy came over, you may get a crystal and cut it in four pieces. You know, crystal, they don't put cheese on the whole burger. So you get cheese, you get cheese. You're going to get half a pickle, and y'all going to split it, and you're going to sit there. And I'm going to get the water and get the little water hose outside and put your little styrofoam cup, and y'all going to share that cup? No, no, he said prepare a great feast. He said get the ribs out. Get the greens. You all right in here? Get the macaroni. Get the cheese with macaroni. He said get the sweet potatoes and put just a nice little streusel glaze on the top with some nuts and caramel. Put some marshmallows on if you want to. He said get some chicken and dressing and make a nice gravy. Wait a minute, this is going to take a while to cook. You mean I got to sit here and tolerate them while we're cooking? Because you do know the food wasn't ready right then. They had to sit there with them while the food cooked. He said, prepare a great feast for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. This right here blew me away. And the marauding band of Armenians did not come again unto the land of Israel. And the marauding band of Arameans did not come again into the land of Israel. You want to know how to put an end to your battle? Pray that the Lord covers their eyes so that they don't destroy themselves, because half of your enemies are like what Jesus said, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Pray that God doesn't destroy them. Pray that God saves them. But God, they're trying to get me fired. Pray a blessing over their life. Treat the enemies the way you want to be treated. Wait a minute. There's a saying that why would I treat my enemies like friends? I'm not telling you to trust your enemy. I'm telling you to just smother them with kindness. Because when you're kind to people that are evil, they don't know what you're doing. Yes, sir. Fix a plate of food for your enemy and say, I want you to eat. They're going to test it. What you done put in these grits? What you done to my eggs? Y'all was shouting a minute ago. Y'all ain't shouting now. When you kill it with kindness, you invoke heaven into the situation. But when you fight as the world fights, you just live to fight again. The Bible said they prepared a great feast and they sat down and ate. You don't do to-go plates with a great feast. With a great feast, you bring out the good plates, the good cups. You know, the ones that you hardly ever use. You use the good table there. What am I doing to my enemies? Why am I loving on my enemies? Because when you do that, you plant a seed of love in their life. And the Bible said they sent them back home. And they never came back. You want to put an end to this battle? Love on your enemy. Share love. Don't fight. Don't get Twitter fingers and clap back. Love on them. Pray that God bless every part of their life. Pray for their children. Pray for their family. Pray for their mind. God save them. God sanctify them. God show them their purpose. Show them who they are in you. Don't pray they have a car wreck. Don't pray they wake up and can't bend their right arm and just know that's what you get for messing with a child of God. Don't throw shade on Twitter. It's better to put a millstone around your neck than to mess with one of God's children. Don't even do that. Throw love out there. When you do that, I tell you, you're going to experience what this scripture said. They never came back. I'm through, but here's my final challenge to you. When you're under attack, don't ever stop doing what the enemy is after. I'm going to let that sit in. When you're under attack, never stop doing what the enemy is after. You know what happens when we get under attack? And I'm through. We stop doing the thing that brings attention. You stop loving and you turn into a bitter person. Whatever you call it, I'm going to start this great restaurant. One person says, I don't like your food. You either go attack them or you shut the restaurant down. People ain't grateful no way. You never stop to ask, maybe what do I need to adjust? Or maybe they just not for me. When you're under attack, don't stop doing what the enemy is after. Because he's not after the tangible thing that you see. He's after your purpose. He wants to pull you out of classroom. He wants to pull you out of business. He wants to pull you out of relationship. He wants you to shut down from ever experiencing the joy that you set out after. And what Satan has done to many of us when it comes to church, you get hurt in church, I ain't never going to another church. You could be streaming online and you're watching this. You get hurt in one relationship, I ain't never dating anybody, I'm not ever getting married again. But on the inside of you, you're miserable because you still want love. The problem is, you want it, you just don't know how to trust. Learn how to trust. You set out to do business and you get turned down. You know how many no's I get every week? I get accustomed to them. But you hear no and you shut down. There's a yes out there. Don't stop doing what the enemy is after and you will win. Stand to your feet all over the building. I don't know if they're connected with you in here. But some of you, I feel you're under attack. And I feel like the enemy is after to get you to stop what you set out to do. But I want to speak over your life what they sung this morning. I've seen him move mountains. And I believe he's going to do it again. I believe he's going to make a way out of no way. I believe God's going to do it again. If you're in this house today, every head bowed, every eye closed, and in any part of your life you're under attack and you need the strength, the courage to fight on, I want you to slip your hand up wherever you are right now. I want to pray over you. Come on, lift your hands if you're under attack in any area of your life. It could be your confidence. Satan's after some things in your life. We're going to fight him. Father, I pray they experience this song. Move mountains. Do it again. Father, this morning we've got strategy on how to fight. Know why we're being attacked. Know our real enemy. We got to have leadership in the middle of the battle. We got to see it right so we can say it right. And then we got to treat our enemies as we would our friends. We're going to love so in a situation that you're going to send our enemy away, never to be seen again. Father, I thank you now. In seasons of attack, it's also a season for a great move of God. I honor you and I thank you for what's about to happen. You're going to make a way out of no way. And God, I believe you're going to do it again. Come on, can we close this service out today worshiping God? Come on, y'all sing this.